Hey, podcast friends. If you love our podcast and want to help support us to continue making cool shit, consider joining our Patreon community. Get early access to each episode, a monthly hangout on Zoom, custom answers to your questions in exclusive Patreon videos, and much, much more. Head on over to patreon.com/conversationswithcreators to become a patron today. Your support means the world to us. Now on to the episode.
What the world right now is craving is authenticity. And yeah. I think the more that we can know ourselves and what truly is our strengths and our weaknesses and understand that no one has it figured out. And we've just learned better ways to work through it. And the more honest we are about that, those are the people that I think, especially this younger generation, is looking to. Because if you look at it, what is true? What's not true anymore? Everything seems so, we sort of keep getting bamboozled, you know, by information. And so now I feel like authenticity is king.
It's hard to build, you know, your dream. It's hard to build a company. It's hard to build, you know, something around your passion. And it's hard to have a job that you hate and try to get through each work day watching the clock and, you know, deal with, you know, annoying people around you and blah, blah, blah. So just choose your heart.
Choose your heart. I love that.
So the big question is this: how are creators like us who aren't built for the 9-to-5, for the people who put their passion before them being comfortable? How do we turn that passion into a living that pays the bills and a life that we love? That is the question. This podcast will give you the answers. My name is Noah Mittman, and welcome to Conversations with Creators.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Creators. I am your host, Noah Mittman, and joining me today is Master Chaos Manager Corinne Hancock Scott. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Noah. It's so great to see you.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a couple of years.
Absolutely. Except, Noah, I see you every single day because I play your video at the start of every single one of my presentations. So
you're
with me in spirit every single day.
Love it.
You're so talented.
So speaking to that kind of with how you got into stuff. So your background, it's the wildest it can get. Corinne works in war zones and refugee camps and all these kind of crazy areas. How has that experience shaped your life and your business, and what got you into it?
So give you kind of the rundown. Well, yeah. So now I joke with people a lot that I sort of have a real fake job now, or a fake real job, because I'm a cultural anthropologist by background. And so people ask me all the time, they're like, what even is a cultural anthropologist? And I can tell you, I think my dad is still trying to figure that out as well. But I study human behavior, and I study human behavior specifically in crisis management and conflict resolution. And I started the early part of my days, you know, I studied abroad in college. I studied in China and Russia and Nepal, and I've always had this passion for studying human behavior and how it navigates into culture and creating, you know, reducing conflict and creating solutions. And so you can imagine with that background, when the pandemic hit, I started kind of getting asked by everyone I knew who owned businesses, who ran teams, like, hey, you've been leading teams around the world. I worked for very large nonprofit organizations leading medical training teams around the world in very chaotic environments. And people started asking me, like, how do you navigate this chaos? And so over the past several years, my career and my work has built solely around helping leaders and teams navigate chaos, thriving in chaos and using it to an advantage, and helping them understand their relationship with it from a more psychological perspective from my background in cultural anthropology.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it was, you know, no more chaotic than COVID.
Right. And then you add in all the other issues that were happening during that, you know, everything from social injustice and gender and healthcare and finances, and you add in every insecurity, and it just, you know, really spiraled. Plus, you know, companies and leaders are very good at using challenges to an advantage. And it was a huge time of growth for many organizations as well. And so there was a lot of acquisitions happening, a lot of things that were changing the dynamics of the workforce and teams. And so it's been a really, really fun several years of working with leaders and teams and navigating this and helping them in conflict resolution and communication styles and things like that.
Always needed and more needed now than ever before, I feel like.
Totally. And what's actually been crazy is I've found that, you know, more of my work has seemed to have more of an impact on families than it has their business, because, you know, all of it is about human relationships. And these aren't tools that just help you be a better leader or a better manager or a better team member. It helps you just be a better human being and more aware of your relationship with chaos.
Well, Adam, and honestly, like, the difference in chaos between the corporate world and the family life is, you know, vast. I can see why it would help families as well.
Very much so. And I actually created an assessment that people take where they compare the exact same questions, is comparing your team, your company, and your family. And it's so funny because so many people are like, I've never really thought about what's the mission of my family, or what is the, do we have the right people on the team? And
right.
You know, things like that. And so it's a pretty fun
thing. Well, that's, I mean, they talk about like the classic family meeting, and this is, it's a good way to, I mean, having the tools for that is huge, I think, for keeping families together and happy.
Yeah. So, and as you know, some of you may not who are on here, but I also run my own nonprofit as well. And so I have a nonprofit organization that we lead medical and training teams into remote parts of the world. And we, you know, help with entrepreneurial endeavors and medical training programs that has been really fun, because we get to go kind of back into places that I was working before and at a smaller scale, fill in the gaps in a way that I have feel like I have more control over.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to me about obviously going into, you know, helping the communities there. How do you see kind of the impact that you've had on those communities lasting over time?
Well, I mean, it's always the age old question of, you know, are you making things better or worse? And I can tell you, the deeper I was getting into humanitarian aid and work, and it really shifted my perspective in this idea that it needs to be more in a training mentality, and it's never about aid. And so I really turned my teams more into, we call them impact teams. And it's much more helping understand what the needs of the community are from their perspective, because we think that we know the answer, and it's just like raising children. You know, we think we know what the fix is or what they should be doing, but unless people start to discover it and create it for themselves. So I would say the impact over time from an American perspective is very frustrating, because the timeline is so different. You know, we work at such a fast pace in our society. Our society is so built on accomplishment, and how do you measure it, and how quickly can you get it done, and how can you maximize your impact or your profits or your whatever. And when you're working in that area, it's so opposite of that.
Right.
It's such an idea of slowing down to go fast. And it's been very challenging and frustrating from that, changing the perspective of what are you measuring. And so looking at more measuring the impact of relationships. And so when I look at the relationships that I've built of true trust and an ability to have authentic conversations cross-culturally, has been what I'm most proud of right now, because it isn't at the measurability that I would think, or that goes on a report as looking so impressive of the impact that the dollars have made. It can't be measured in that way from my perspective.
No, that was actually, because that was funny. That was my next question of like the most memorable experience for you. But like, it sounds like, you know, at least, you know, getting the communication established and having that relationship go over time would be less, you know, it may move slower, but like, you know, that there are steps being taken.
Well, and there's so much difference and similarities cross-culturally. As human beings, we're the same in our desires and our hopes and dreams for our families and our communities. But the way that we even communicate and operate and build relationships is very different. And what I'm finding is that it needs to be more of an integrated impact. It can't just be a show up, you know, for a few weeks here and expect it to be happening via email. And so things are very slow when they're done that way.
Yeah, because it moves a little quicker when you're over there, but you can't be over there all the time, and you have to kind of coordinate when you get back to make sure things are still moving.
Correct.
Yeah.
But Noah,
That's the work, right?
That's the work. And I can tell you, you know, we were just chatting before we started filming this. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what's happening in my life because I wanted to surprise you more and see your reaction. So actually in this conversation, you know, I was getting very frustrated with that lack and that ability to make this true impact. And so my husband and I actually... are departing in the end of August, and we accepted a invitation for the Peace Corps.
So
the Peace Corps, and we're taking a 2.5-year sabbatical, and I'm calling it my kind of sabbatical of service because
I
was getting so frustrated with exactly what we were talking about. And
that's the perfect placement for you, though, I feel like. Yeah.
It's going to be amazing because so we're heading off. We were placed in Namibia, which is Southwest Africa. And like I said, it's a 27-month commitment. Wow. We're selling our house. Children, luckily, they're in college and they'll be doing great. I think it's a perfect timing of a buffer for them.
That's the perfect age where, you know, have they figured out what they want to do yet? Or are they still kind of searching? Because I mean, you guys are chasing your passion and making decisions on that. And that's so cool for them to see.
It's so cool because they get to totally focus on what they're doing. They're so proud of us. They think it's so cool. They can come visit. Their childhood was very immersed in this work, and they've spent so much time in Africa over their childhood helping me throughout all of these other projects. And now this is going to be a way to work at a really high level, but also integrate the work of my nonprofit, my teams, and I will be on the ground full time immersing myself in this culture, in this community, from the language to, and I finally feel like I can hopefully make the impact that I've always dreamed of.
Well, it sounds like that's the way to do it. Like you have to, you know, just like anything, immersion is the way to actually achieve stuff. So like that, you know, you being there and committing to it, especially for that long, like, you know, I mean, just imagine the pace that things are going to move. Now, I mean, that's so exciting.
It's so exciting. So thank you. I was excited to get to share it with you.
Because that's awesome.
A lot of things, you know, I've had such an incredible few years in my business on this side, helping teams and navigating. But I always would say that I never wanted to be a speaker that spoke about things that I used to do. And I will be honest, is I was suddenly becoming that because I've been spending all of my time doing. I'm doing. And I haven't really gotten to go back into some of the roots of what I was talking about. And so I feel like it's going to be this incredible opportunity to share a new perspective with my audiences and my people from truly thriving in chaos. I mean, my life is so chaotic right now because I'm still working full-time, traveling every week. We're trying to sell our house. Imagine wrapping up your life and just essentially putting everything that you think is valuable, which again is a whole nother topic, storage unit, and then leave for 2.5 years. And
that's a grand adventure, though. Like those are the kind of decisions that like make a life like extraordinary. And you know, and again, I what you were saying, like you can be more authentic because you're not just talking about, but you're, I mean, think about when, you know, who knows what the future holds, but like when you do get back into speaking eventually, you're gonna have a whole new set of things that like it's gonna only benefit down the line.
I only see it as a win-win because I feel like I can bring attention to issues in the world that people aren't aware of. I'm in a country that people don't really know much about, and it's a kind of a strange land because it's not a low-income country. It's more of a mid-income country, but the people are still greatly suffering. And My job is in economic empowerment. So I'm there to help create community businesses, train in entrepreneurship, which I've been working with the top CEOs of the world for the past three years.
Perfectly positioned for every part of it.
Yeah. So it's not exciting. I will tell you the truth. There's moments I wake up in the middle of the night saying, what am I doing? I do like to be comfortable, you guys. I mean, people, I don't know. I probably, it's going to be very
different. But listen, that's like, this is, you know, my whole thing is creating all the time. And now I'm able, you know, I'm really documenting that on Twitch now, which is so cool. But for you being in chaos and like, that's, you know, that's, again, it's just following what you're good at and what you love. Speaking of which, and this is, I love this. So on the talking point and with your kids, you've kind of spoken on the concept of emotional grit. So what does that mean to you? And also, how can people develop it?
So emotional grit. I love that concept because, you know, we talk about grit a lot around even, you know, leaders ask me all the time, how do we even hire for grit? Where do you find grit? And I think that's a really great distinction that you're saying, that there is different types of grit. Emotional grit, in my world, when I first hear that, I'm thinking of our ability to handle situations as they come and also work through them quicker, right? And because what I speak about a lot is sort of the impact that when things change outside of your control. And so that creates an emotional reaction. It would be so weird if it didn't. And we all are human beings that are going to have emotional reactions of hi.
Oh, yeah, someone's saying hi.
of anger, disappointment, worry, fear, like those are emotions that are real. And I think that people sometimes try to push them away or think that they shouldn't exist. And for me, emotional grit is your ability to recognize that they exist. And you must take a minute to feel it because they're real. They're real. And there's sometimes where it sucks. Like it just sucks sometimes. And I think there's a real benefit in saying, yes, this is how I'm feeling right now. And how do I want to move forward? And how quickly can I move forward? And to me, that's more of the emotional grit. And I think for my advice for people is just recognizing that it exists and you're okay and you're human, but you don't want to dwell in it. It's how quickly you can sort of let yourself feel it and figure out what the next step is to move forward.
Yeah. Emotional grit is something we try to build into the kids as well, is like not trauma, but hard work and like not, you know, giving up on things. And the grit is so needed in life.
But also recognizing and validating, you know, I think what's different, I talk a lot about it with my, you know, with leaders, is that there's a fine line because like how I grew up and my grandfather was definitely this suck it up mentality, like rub some dirt in it, let's go. But it also can't be this total flip side either of kumbaya, it's all good, trust the process. You know, it's like, no, I'm angry right now. I'm sad. I'm worried. And maybe there's no instant solution. It's just recognizing that it's there and we're going to move through it. I love it. We're so thriving in chaos.
Right, right.
This is how life is.
This is what I do. Well, it's funny too, because I have an office downstairs, but it's so freezing during the winter that like I literally all like I can't freaking do it.
I love this. And then concrete box. You're going, it'll knock the power out, or you know, or the sound is too loud.
Yeah.
Well, but no, I'm so with you. Yeah. Like I said, the tree cutters were outside of my window, like
yeah. Guarantee the dog's going to start playing after they eat, and then we're going to have to put them out. And the whole, it's good though. It's real life. It's funny for the emotional grit thing. One thing that definitely helps me is I'm trying to think of who it's from. I think it's from like Green Folios. Anyway, but the five minute rule. So you're allowed, you know, when something goes wrong or, you know, get bad news or something happens like that, you have 5 minutes to be pissed, angry, sad, all that stuff about it. Obviously, even like, you know, the death of a family member, it's different. Quiet, guys. She has a yelling. But you have 5 minutes to live in that and then move on. So you can, you know, know that it's there, you can recognize it, and it doesn't ruin like your whole day.
Right. And I think it's critical for us to allow that space for other people. And that's what I work a lot with leaders on, that then recognize how valuable that is at home with their significant others, because, you know, it's not always a solution that's needed. And I think sometimes as leaders and as parents, we think we're in charge of always creating a solution in the moment. And it just isn't what people need. And it's the same in going back to my work overseas, is that, you know, that development work, the work, it's not always the solution that is the most important part. It's actually working through what the impact is, what people are feeling, what people, you know, want to just sometimes feel heard before we even get to what is really going on. Because I believe that behind every frustration is actually a fear. And you have to kind of dig down to what the real fear even is. And as we know, deep, deep down, it all goes back down to our ability to survive and to stay in the tribe and to, you know, from that biological standpoint of human beings. So
yeah, it's interesting. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I love that. And the human traits of universal makes so much sense that like corporations/big companies, like you need that because, you know, how many times do you hear people bitching about their bosses? Like, it's really important to have that training, and I love that. So you emphasize, and you have talked a little bit about it, but I want to dive more into it, the importance of resilience and adaptability. So what are like specific ways that people can bring that into their lives? No, we don't need to do that right now. You guys go upstairs for 20 minutes. Upstairs. I don't care. Go upstairs for 20 minutes. Thank you. Let me just freaking finish this. That's it. That's all I have to do for the day. Then we can be as loud as you want.
And we can be crazy.
Be crazy.
It's so fun. Oh, my
yes.
So fun. My kids used to come while I was doing live presentations, Noah, and hold up signs. And they're teenagers. And I'm like, I can't still talk to you. I'm like, it doesn't matter. So what are we talking? We're talking about
resilience, adaptability, and how people can bring it more into their lives.
Oh, it's so stunning. I mean, honestly, people ask it all the time. And I think the challenge is that there's no quick fix. It's consistency over time of doing things that make you uncomfortable. And I know, you know, people talk about it and there's all these extreme things that you can do, but it's really whatever it is for you that is outside of your comfort zone for you. And you have to push through it every single day. And, you know, I'm now at a level, yes, because I live my life in a very extreme way of things that are maybe uncomfortable, you know, to other people is now very comfortable for me. So yes, I do things like cold plunge every day and, you know, crazy things because I need to keep challenging myself.
Oh my God. Even the 30-second cold shower is like,
okay, but Noah, I think the shower is way harder than
oh,
the plunge. Yeah, I can't actually. Maybe because I have so much PTSD of so many years in the field of having cold showers,
yeah,
but fair. Bucket showers, like dumping a bucket of cold water on your head, is totally different than just getting in the cold plunge.
Fair. Oh. That's fair.
Just do it. It's whatever I tell people all the time. You just have to find your limit. And whenever you have that feeling of, I don't want to do this, you take a minute to truly like observe it. What is it that I'm resisting against? Right. And deep down, it's some version of looking stupid or feeling like you don't have enough information or you don't know enough. And it's just figuring out that one step beyond where you will normally stop.
Yeah.
And if you can do that every day in small areas, even if it's like not hitting your snooze button a second time, I mean, start with the smallest things. That's what continues to build your grit and your resiliency, your adaptability, and noticing like when someone upsets you, right? Or you're driving in traffic, can you let it go a little faster? Can you let it flow through you? And that's what I just help people, just let it come through you, you know, and just truly like the more you can, faster you can bounce back, because again, you're never going to resist it.
Yeah.
It's never going to stop. Even for me, I hate the stuff I do most of the time. You think like I'm always, people think I just love being uncomfortable. No, I don't. I still.
That's the nature. That's the nature of being uncomfortable. And I think a big thing, you know, that you said here that was one of my favorite YouTube channels, which is Yes Theory. Their whole thing is seek discomfort.
Yes.
So when you actively seek discomfort out, you get more comfortable with the discomfort. It's never fun, but you push forward, that's how you push yourself. And exactly what you said, like the biggest thing for resilience is that ability to let it roll off your back. Like, I got some, bad client news yesterday and I was just like, oh, all right, keep it going, roll off the back and, keep moving forward.
Yeah. And like we talked about with the grit, like give yourself a minute to feel disappointed and angry and find a way that helps you deal with it. And, but I think seeking discomfort for me, I wouldn't say it's seeking discomfort. I think it's more, I like to say something like, I like to kind of do something that scares me every day, like in a way that makes, which for some is making you feel uncomfortable. And it's just that small push. And I think people try to do things at such extremes that that's why there's no ability to stay with it. And it's just all about consistency. And then it becomes a habit. And then you suddenly, you look back at yourself from a year ago and you're so much more resilient. You're so much more patient. You're so much more able to, I always tell people, listen to yourselves think. Listen to the internal dialogue that you're saying to yourself and notice it and then just sort of reframe it. Say something different. Tell a different story and just practice doing that. You don't have to go jump in a river every day. Just try to say something nice to yourself. And even that might be uncomfortable for
people. No, I mean, well, it's funny too, like with the going live thing, just like that, like right now, like it's a slight, I've gotten more comfortable with it over time, but like, man, those first couple times was I mean, again, the kids doing crazy stuff during the live, like obviously I'll be able to, I'll cut it out for the actual thing, but like, for right now, it happened, and I'm just so used. I'm like comfortable with it.
Well, and I think, and I love that about you. And I think if you recognize what the world needs more and what the world right now is craving is authenticity. And I think the more that we can know ourselves and what truly is our strengths and our weaknesses, and understand that no one has it figured out. And we've just learned better ways to work through it. And the more honest we are about that, those are the people that I think, especially this younger generation, is looking to. Because if you look at it, what is true? What's not true anymore? Everything seems so, we sort of keep getting bamboozled, by information. And so now I feel like authenticity is king. And the more that you can just practice knowing yourself, and being real, but also accountable and understand the impact that you're going to have and more clear on what you're even trying to accomplish, then you can start having very authentic, real relationships that become uncomfortable, but also so rewarding and now it's worth it. What else are we here for, kind of thing?
Well, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand, but like growth is uncomfortable
always
by nature.
Yes. Oh, and I can
it's so hard.
So hard. And I've been, right now I told you all, I've been, packing up my life and trying to decide what's
not the most uncomfortable thing ever.
Well, I've been having down memory lane and I'm like, I had a lot of journals and things from when I was younger. And the funniest thing is that I found and funny, like, report cards from your second grade teacher and how, if you really look back, we think we've done all this growth and all this change, but all of the things that I've been writing about, talking about, or thinking about since I was young, it's all the same. And we just find new ways to, we are who we are and we can just own ourselves and love ourselves for our strengths and our weaknesses and find our communities that support each other within that is, and just find how you want to spend your time. How do you want to spend your time? What brings you happiness and joy? And just, and it won't always be comfortable and fun. I mean, I definitely am living my dream life right now, for sure. If you would have asked me 5 years ago, would I see this? Sure, I wished and hoped, but it's still not easy. Yeah. It's never easy. And I think people think that it's suddenly going to be easy. It just becomes more, I think, smoother maybe, but it's never easier. It's just a little
bit. My thought on it is always like, it's hard to build, you know, your dream. It's hard to build a company. It's hard to build, you know, something around your passion. And it's hard to have a job that you hate and try to get through each work day watching the clock and, you know, deal with, you know, annoying people around you and blah, blah, blah. So just choose your heart.
Choose your heart. I love that. I choose your heart because it's always going to be hard. It just is. I love the heart I'm in right now.
Yeah.
Sure. But obviously, and what I see with leaders and even with now myself is that all of a sudden, my heart started to become comfortable. And look what I'm doing. I'm like, here, let me blow up my whole life and try something else. And that's what I notice in companies and leaders. And I'm sure people who have worked for those leaders, and they're like, oh, why are we acquiring another company? Or why are we changing and offering this new product line? And why are we making things hard? Is because I think as humans, we're always seeking growth and looking for ways to expand ourselves into a new realm of human emotion, of all of these things. And I think the most advice that has been so helpful for me and that I share with people all the time is sort of, you have to just get clear in what are you even measuring? Like, what are you measuring it against? How do you even know you're there? Because all of us are such high achievers. If you're watching this or listening to something like this, you're already someone who is seeking and is achieving all the time. But what's the end game? Because there is no there for people like us. And my favorite book that I just read recently was David Goggins' new book, Never There or Never Finished. Yeah. I think it had never finished. And it totally speaks to, not everyone's that way, but if you're in this world and you're listening to this, you are, and you're never going to be finished. And so what is it for you? And can you pick measures then for this week or this month or this year?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're just going to what end? And that's what I started to find out for me. This past few years, all I did was accomplish, right? I got my doctorate in business administration. I did my first TEDx talk. I like won speaker of the year at Vistage and all just accomplished. And it's like,
remind me what your TED talk was called?
So it's called What's Your Relationship with Chaos?
Nice.
Yeah.
I got it. We got it. Yeah. Send me all the links. That's epic.
Yeah. It's cool. But how funny. I was, if I'm honest, yes, I'm thrilled that I did it, but I was pretty disappointed with how it turned out, how I felt about it. And so that's the thing with humans, that we have to understand that if you're a high achiever, you're never satisfied. And it's your greatest strength. But you have to be very careful with the balance of it can turn into a weakness very quickly. And then you're constantly living in trying to accomplish and trying to get there. And there is no there.
So many people have said the journey is the, like, it's, I know it's like so, you know, cliche, but really, if you're not enjoying the journey, then you're not doing the right thing. Like for me, even with this, like, you know, we're on episode 45. I'm just excited to get to episode 100. And
good.
And then I'll be excited to get to episode 200. Like this is just a fun thing.
And, but you're doing it. Like,
right. That's the main thing is
we're doing it. You're already at 45.
Yeah.
Still,
I can't believe I'm at 45. Just hearing, like, I love every time I hear the stats on social media, like 90% of podcasts don't get past episode 3.
Yeah. And think about the very first time you did it, like how you felt, right?
It was
exciting, scary. And then you kind of lose that naivety. We lose that naivety and kind of and then it becomes scary and we start judging ourselves and we start wondering and doubting. And it's those people that will push through that discomfort.
Yeah.
That it's never this, like, I feel like, you know, people are like, just start. I'm like, yeah, just start. But you got to keep going over that that hump. Yeah. And then that's when the momentum kicks in, and it's cool. And it's so exciting. And for anyone who's trying new things and trying stuff, it's the starting, sure, is really hard. But I think for most people, you know, if you're a high achiever, the starting, just go for it. But it's the keep going. It's keep going when it's not fun anymore, when it's that exciting, when it doesn't, you know, when it's kind of a grind. I mean,
yeah,
that's the real challenge.
Which I think is part of why it's so hard to do. Because, like, you know, anybody can get excited about a thing, but the repetition of being consistent is really, like, there's a certain, you got to be built for it. You got to be, or learn to be built for it. Like, that is a whole different thing than, like, you know, the first 10 episodes are way different than episode 50.
Yes. And that's the emotional grit that we're talking about, because what I've noticed, you know, too, in speaking and in any sort of content creation is, like, you know, you start, it's so exciting. You get all this positive affirmation, and then you have a few bombs, right? Like, I've had a few really bad talks, or some people say some horrible things about you online, and you just get smashed down, and then your ego's crushed, and you're like, I suck, and I don't want to do this. I should have never done this. And then, or I blame other things or whatever. And then it's that moment when you can push back through that and kind of get back in the ring and keep it, that is good.
Absolutely. I agree. You just got to keep pushing through.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, and here we go. I knew it was going to happen. Grayson, upstairs. Thank you. Good. Now. There you go.
Yep.
So, speaking of creations, your book, The Ego Effect.
I don't have a book.
You don't have a book. ChatGPT, you did me wrong.
I'm like, wow, I hope I do. It says I do. I need a book. It is coming. How did it know, my friend?
Is it called The Ego Effect and it's not out yet?
No.
No? Where did they get The Ego Effect?
I don't know, but this is actually really good. Maybe they know something I do not know yet.
That's hilarious.
That's funny. No, I don't have, but the book is the next chapter of this journey. So nice. I will be working on my book, hopefully while I'm on my journey, while I'm overseas and working for the Peace Corps. And because
about that journey that needs to be documented.
It has to be. And that's why I will be having more of a conversation as well of what that looks like, because I really want to be documenting it video wise and sharing this journey in a way. You know, for someone like me, I don't have much experience in those things. And I think that that's been a new part, too, is being okay not knowing how to do things and seeking people who do. But again, going back to that authenticity and like people like knowing what they're doing and owning your craft and not being afraid to like say what you know how to do and what you don't know how to do. And I think so many people try to be everyone to everything. And And it just isn't that. Like, we're not that. And, you know, for me and my work, you know, I'm not going to help you restructure your business processes, but I'm sure as heck going to be able to help you understand what's going on in the emotion and how to help people understand and change behavior and understand the behavior that's happening in your workforce. I'm not your person for your strategic, you know, processes and engineering structure in that way. And I think that that's,
well, that's so important, though. Like, you know, to you know, you said one of your favorite quotes. One for me, it's something from Gary Vee that was, you know, you got to realize what you're good at and what you suck at, and you got to double down on what you're good at and either forget about or delegate what you suck at.
Totally.
And that is like just the big, like, it's more true as time goes on for me. Like, really realizing, like, oh shit, like, again, you know, we're live on Twitch right now, but like starting the Twitch journey, I know video editing really well. I have been learning a steep learning curve on how to do well on Twitch and gain community and make my stream look good and all that stuff. Like, and I've been super lucky to find the communities that, you know, I was talking to some people until like 11 o'clock last night, just like chatting about stream quality and, you know, how to get audio to work and all that stuff. But like, it's cool because this is my version of documenting the process, because I'm working every day anyway. And it'll be great over time. And, you know, I'm not afraid, as you said, you're not afraid to learn. You're not afraid to ask questions. That is truly the growth mindset, is not being afraid to suck at something. And, you know, for this one, I had to learn it because, right. You know.
And that things is there are some things we do have to learn. And I think as I get older, I'm getting a little challenged in some of that, right? Especially, it is really intimidating, the technology and the all of this that goes into it, and especially on the video editing and that world of, but people want to know these journeys. They want to know what's happening. And I almost felt like I've been sort of robbing my community holding things that they want to know, and I don't really share it. And sometimes I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not present in my life if I'm always sharing it, or, you know, because also, again, it speaks back to the authenticity, because so much is so contrived. And I think that the people who are going to keep rising to the top in this new world of where we're all sharing everything online and we're sharing our lives and we're opening up these processes are the people who are real about it. And that's what we want to hear. Those are the stories I want to know, not like when it's always perfect and it's working as more. That's why I'm kind of excited to document this journey with people for this next chapter, because people would think I'm going to be so good at it and you've done this always. No, you guys, like, it's going to be really scary and really hard. I've been kind of a spoiled brat for several years. And now all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting kind of back to like being.
But again, like, the growth is to everything we've talked about, to, you know, resilience, to the emotional grit, like getting yourself in situations where you have to learn and you have to, you know, manage things and situations. That is literally like, it's, you know, training with a weighted bat. It's, you know, that's what's required to get to the next level.
Well, and my favorite thought is like, nothing is forever.
True.
Nothing. When people say that, they kind of challenge me a lot sometimes and say things like, well, no, yeah, some things are forever. Well, really, nothing's forever.
Yeah.
I love that she's putting the dishes away while you're doing your podcast right now and you can't say anything.
No.
Well, no, like, this is real life.
I can do that later, babe. I'm on a podcast. I can do that later. She's like, I don't care.
So good. It's so good. And
well, that's what I love is too. Is so two things. Like, one, the, and again, this is like content, right? So live on Twitch to record this with all the crazy stuff happening. And then the finished product that will go out when I publish it, obviously taking all the extra stuff out to really distill the message down.
And to show people like
that it's process.
Possible.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's my thing too, with especially with video, is like, people are all scared. I'm like, editing exists. Like, you can take stuff out.
Yeah. And what's fun for me is when we're going back to our cross-cultural, you know, conversations, is what's so funny is when you work in some of the environments that I work in, you know, you will go into a meeting, and a very formal meeting, and a TV will be on full blast. People are taking phone calls, like, and you can't take those things personally because culturally, it's acceptable. And it is just, it becomes sort of this, such a funny thing of becoming adaptable and not taking things personally and not making it mean of anything about you or about, you know,
let it roll off your back and you keep going. That's just the biggest metaphor for everything we've been talking about.
Absolutely. You can't make this stuff up. It couldn't be more perfect. That's thriving in chaos, you know, and confusion and disorder actually becomes an amazing, beautiful experience of growth, because if it all made sense and if it was always working, there's no growth in that.
Right.
And there isn't. And I do believe humans strive for growth. And I know people say and challenge me, they're like, no, I strive to be comfortable. And I think that that's not actually totally true.
I think that the happiest, most comfortable people with themselves are ones that are constantly striving for growth. Like, that's literally every awesome thought leader that the people that are happiest where they are at, that follow, those people are all, you know, again, you never get there. It's the whole Yeah. You know, that for me, a big unlock was that perfection doesn't exist.
Ooh, tell me, say more about that. What do you mean perfection doesn't exist?
Perfection.
Oh, perfection. I was like, ooh, I like perfection too. But perfection.
Like perfect doesn't exist. It's straight up like, when I tell people it's a direction, not a destination. Mm-hmm. It will never exist because even if, you know, talking on the filmmaking, like, you know, I've heard Scorsese still has, you know, some small issues with some of the shots in Goodfellas. Like, it's never going to be perfect. So when you just understand that nothing is ever perfect, you can, like, that just opens, that frees you from everything.
Well, it does. And I think, you know, it was so interesting doing the TEDx experience because you, for people who've done it, or, you know, you have kind of your cohort that you're with because you are together for all these months preparing, we're having meetings, we're talking with each other and working on our stuff together. And when the day came and we all did our, you know, TED Talks and afterwards, it was so interesting because I watched my colleagues and my friends do theirs. And I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, right.
And I all came off stage feeling disappointed. And I remember thinking, even kind of knowing myself and trying not to be right about it, but that I was going to be disappointed in my performance because we can never live up to our own expectations.
Yeah.
But, you know, and people were saying to me, they thought it was amazing. And to me, I thought it, but I loved that others were having that experience because I thought I was the only one having that experience. But to start to learn that other people were feeling the same way and saying things like, oh my gosh, I forgot this whole section and all of that. And the person watching it, me or anyone else, it was amazing. And
right.
No one sees quite what we see either. And like I said, that's why it's always a strength, but you got to be careful for it to be a deterrent of our perfectionism because you got to
get it. Yeah. Done. And that's the whole like done over perfect. But also like the other thing that I find is over time, even stuff that seems like such a big deal in the moment, you give it a day or two and you're like, oh, it was fine. Like, you know,
fine.
It's that nobody actually cares that much. Or, I mean, they may care in their habit, but like they don't, you know, a stumble is not as big of a stumble as you think it is.
Yeah. And I think there's that fine line of that too, of right, of really digging though into to still doing the absolute best you can.
Yeah.
And like absolutely giving it your all. And, you know, because I feel like sometimes some people creep into this sort of, they spend almost more effort doing less work than doing it well and great the first time. And so it's funny. It's just everything is a balance is what I'm finding is it's just, and that's kind of this exciting part of this next chapter for me of moving more into the from the doing to the being, because in America and like in our developing world, we run so fast. Like everything is on, you know, it's always about the accomplishment and how quickly we can move things forward. And I'm about to step into a life where it's truly, you know, they keep telling us that's going to be your biggest challenge is to slow down, to go fast. And as Americans, it's very hard for us to not measure our accomplishment on these things that we're used to measuring them on. And I'm excited to start to find a new connection, like I said, with the relationship side of things, the being side of myself and seeing what comes out when you allow some space in. And I know it's a privilege to have this time to do this, but it's going to be a very interesting journey. And I really am excited to see what comes out of it because I think it's good for us to be bored a little bit or to suddenly like not be trying to accomplish and see what comes out of that creativity.
Yeah. Just putting yourself into different situations and different speeds and different cultures. All right. So I got a couple of not rapid fire, but a couple of questions I like to ask everybody. So what is one of your favorite quotes and why?
Well,
I don't know.
Actually, hold on 1 second because I just found it. Hold on. because as I said, I was cleaning out my office.
Yep.
And I loved coming back to, it's a little bit of a long one, so I
don't do it
the whole thing, but it's essentially that it's all about persistence, just like we were talking about. And it's Calvin Coolidge's, he was the 30th president of the United States. And his essentially was that nothing in the world can take the place of persistence.
Right.
Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb.
Yeah.
Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan "Press On" has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race.
That's, yeah, no wonder and you have that.
It speaks right back. And look how
I love it. I love it.
Back on my for years, because it is one of my most favorite ideas of just everything we were talking about. It's always to keep going, even when it's hard, even when you don't want to, even when it's great, but press on. And it's always the tenacity and it, you know, like persistence and tenacity.
That is the way more eloquent version of the sign that we just put up in the kitchen, which is nobody cares, work harder.
Yes, exactly.
Not that nobody cares, but it's the whole, like, you know, no, excuses, haters, all that shit doesn't matter. Just keep going.
Just keep going. Yeah.
All right. This one might be a little bit harder. What is the title of your memoir?
Wow, that is.
Yeah. I know.
So I've thought about it a lot. There's been a few different ones, but I think is some version of "When is enough enough?"
Mm.
Or there's a funny one that comes from my grandfather used to always say to me, "Run, rabbit, run." And I never really understood what it meant, but it was kind of, he would always say when we were just kind of doing too much, like, "Run, rabbit, run," meaning like the rabbits will always run, but eventually they get caught because they get worn out. And so I think it's going to be some version of, you know, I kind of like that "run, rabbit, run" back from my grandfather, because it speaks into this idea of everything we've been talking about, of
finding your path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's a hobby or a thing that takes you away outside of your career, kind of lets you relax and stuff?
It's kind of funny because it's become this new one that is so silly, but I'm becoming so passionate about it. And I think that as I move into, I see myself as an old lady. So my favorite hobby right now, and has been for several years, is flower arranging. And I love, so when my boys started going to homecomings and proms, and I would go see all these fancy corsages and, you know, things that they were so lame and like $25. And so I started making corsages like beautiful. And I am not a crafty girl.
Yeah.
No artistic talent is how I felt, but this idea of designing flower arrangements, and it has now become my most favorite thing. I my husband and I, we eloped last summer, and I made my own flower bouquet.
Oh,
and
that's awesome. I'm just
obsessed with growing flowers, making flowers beautiful together, and it's actually,
no, it works great. It's funny. I'm similar kind of, just saying that it's like tactile. Like, I weirdly, because we, you know, the kids and I'm helping my mom have stuff, like putting together furniture is super calming for me. Just because I think we both operate at such a high, like, mental level for work all the time that, you know, there's no correct answer. There's no, you know, there's just a way that we think it should go. It's all based on taste. It's all based on, you know, what comes out of the brain. So just to be able to like do something simple.
Totally. And simple. And for me, like I love.
And with your hands too. Yeah.
Connection to the earth too. And like being in the dirt and I'm terrible at it. Like I'm terrible at it right now. And I'm terrible at like the whole process. Right. And it speaks to everything that we're talking about of from growing, you know, these seedlings to flowers and having to learn about like insects and pest control and what goes well together. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm never going to be able to learn all of it, but I now, my calming times is like watching videos, learning like these people that, you know, grow their own flowers and then sell them at farmers market.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm obsessed.
It's so funny how it just like it you get super into stuff over time. I found hockey in 2022 and I now play 3 times a week.
Wow. See, and that's like great for your body. And
yeah.
I love beautiful things. And
yeah.
I love also what flowers then like represent to people and
yeah.
on a deeper level, how it, you know, they are so beautiful and then they die. And it's also not holding on to things. And it goes back to what we were saying of nothing is forever. And so enjoying the experience and how much effort goes into making it, but then it's over. And
I feel like it weirdly plays again into, you know, you being in communication, like that skill, I feel like it's going to be pretty universal for the time in Africa. Where you can have fun with it, and it's also just like that'll speak so clearly as to, you know,
yeah.
who you are and your intentions and all that.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun. I'm excited to see where it goes. And, you know, we have one more prom season, so I'm excited to make
That's your last hurrah here.
Yes. Yeah, I'll post it up on my Instagram. You guys can see the
way. There you go.
You know, I've gotten real good with a glue gun, so
That's actually perfect that you mentioned Instagram, because the last thing we'll do is kind of roll out the red carpet for you, tell people where to find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for you guys to follow me at Chaos Corinne. You know, Chaos Corinne is my Instagram, and it's sort of new for me to be starting to post all of my stuff out into the world. And that
good.
Way. Kind of work before, I wasn't
really uncomfortable.
Yeah, so very uncomfortable. And I hope to, you know, create more content now around this Peace Corps journey and what that's going to look like. So, you know, of course, my website is just CorinneHancock.com, and we'll be starting to create new portals of information in there based on what's coming up. But yeah, it's a great place to start. And of course, on LinkedIn for you guys. I mean, that's where most of my content lives right now, is on LinkedIn with Corinne Hancock Scott, because that's been the world I've been in for the past several years. So
there you go.
Yeah,
that's actually something I'm now building more on.
Yeah.
Is thank God for scheduling, because it wouldn't be possible otherwise. But I posted every single day last month, and I'm trying to post every single day going forward. Because again, it's, you know, you take like a day or two, you can schedule out the whole month.
It is.
I can't think of a better, for business wise, I can't think of a better investment of time than becoming like bigger on LinkedIn.
For sure. And it's such a great community, and it depends what your network is. It depends kind of what you're interested in. But to me, it's such a great place of really great information. You learn a lot about different companies, different careers. I never, you know, especially new boys that are starting to enter into this world of the work world. And it's just an amazing community. And I think no matter what's happening with technology, the human connection of people will always be the most important thing, of your authentic relationships and the connections and jobs and the way that, you know, yes, you can have the most incredible resume and have gone to the best schools, but truly having just that authentic introduction of, you know, oh yeah, my friend works at so-and-so, that's never going away. I can't imagine that ever changing. And so to build your relationships online is a really incredible place to be, especially in the professional side of your world.
Well, that's, you know, part of my business reach out is sending messages on LinkedIn. So I feel like having really consistent, good content that they, you know, they'll be like, oh, like, this is not just a random profile. You know, I'm actually active. I think it kind of backs up, you know, reaching out to people.
Totally. And the more you can provide things that help, you know, managers or people that need something to send out to their team as a just a quick, you know, uplifting thing, just like, you know, we like pop on, you know, a TED Talk or a podcast that we heard. And we share it with friends because we know it's going to help them with something they're dealing with. The more we can create content like that for people is awesome. Or even if it's just something to feel good and have
make positivity louder. Yeah.
It's great. I think you're doing great work, Noah.
You too.
Know you and excited to work with you more. And hopefully you can be helping me with some of my video content out.
So epic. I am so in. Yeah.
What do you guys think we should get Noah and his family all to Namibia as well? I think in the next few years, you guys need to.
I think we're now. I think, give it a couple of years. The kids can get a little older. And then, we're hopefully going to New Zealand later this year. We haven't saved for it yet, but that's the hope. And I mean, traveling has been something that me and my wife really bonded over to begin with. And now they obviously want to bring the kids up because I think traveling just is one of the best things you can do in life.
It's incredible. And I think for any of you guys who have kids, the more you can get them out and just being outside, they would rather go play in a river than, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you from my experience. We did Disney. We did Legoland. We did all of those things too. And their favorite adventures is jumping off the sand hill. Moab, if any of you guys have been to Moab and you know that sand hill that's right outside the park. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. They spent hours just running up and jumping down the sand hill. And I think the more we can get kids doing those activities will bring us back also to our stuff. You don't need the money to do it.
Correct.
Play outside. That's
riding bikes and climbing trees.
Yes, sir. Yes. So
it's been an absolute blast having you on here. I knew it would be. And I appreciate you.
Yeah, you too, Noah. Thank you. Good luck.
And for everybody. Woo! Namibia. It's crazy.
Yeah, here we go.
everybody watching and listening, I will see you next time.
Thank you.